Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the tape interview with Mrs. Lily Mu Lee on July 24, 1982. This is tape one. Okay, Lily, would you please talk a little bit about your family background? Like, did your father came to United States, or your grandfather, or mm-hmm. can you talk about that?
Well, my father, his name is Niu Bin mm-hmm. Sam. He came to United States through Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and he bought an interest in a store by the name of Don Sao Hong, D-U-N. S-O-W-H-O-N-G, which since has been changed to Mu Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He bought an interest and eventually was able to purchase the whole store. And that was an earth shop. And that's how my dad came over. And then he went back to China.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that was the procedure in those days, and brought my mother over.
Mm-hmm. Is that around what time period?
The years I will get that from my brother.
Okay. Okay. So. I was trying to
forget what I said.
Yeah, you said I asked you about a year, and
two of my brothers and myself were born here,
mm-hmm.
and we were all born in Old Chinatown, where presently is the Union Station,
mm-hmm.
prior to the time that the Union Station was built.
Okay. Do you know about approximately where, what street was that?
I think it's called Massasa Street.
Oh, Massasa Street.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that
was where your father had the herb shop?
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
the herb shop's name?
Dan
Song
Hong.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's where you were born, which means that your family lived there in the back side.
Well,
of
we
the
lived,
store.
You know, I think I visualize it being across the street,
mm-hmm.
upstairs. Yeah.
You know, like apartment.
One apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through an alley and then you go upstairs. It's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember it as being one or two rooms. It's been so long. But I was born there in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we moved to Crocker Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Rodney Chow, we met Rodney Chow's family.
I see.
Yeah, okay.
So we can go back to what your father did. You say your father had the herb shop.
Yeah, he had an herb shop in Chinatown. And as I remember, we serviced most of the Chinese people in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unique in that our herb shop was the place where the Chinese men came in and smoked their water pipes,
uh-huh.
And drank tea and
uh-huh.
read the newspapers.
Uh-huh. I see. So the sort of like a, not only as an herb shop, it's also like also a little bit of social
mm-hmm.
gathering
place for
uh-huh.
the Chinese men, because originally they were mostly single men
mm-hmm.
that came over,
mm-hmm.
and they were to come over, make their money, and go back overseas, or they came over and then waited for their families to come over, their wives.
Uh-huh.
So I had a lot of fathers.
Uh-huh, yes, all uncles, fathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so they, your father came from which village, do you know?
I forget the name, Toisan.
Toisan, oh, I see.
I think.
Uh-huh, okay, we can verify that
with my brother.
Brother, okay. And so they, probably we should just go on, what you have, we remember since you were born. In the 1930s, your father had the store still there, and until when did your father move to?
We were relocated in 1938
mm-hmm.
because they had to build the Union Station,
mm-hmm.
and as I understand it, they looked at various sites, and finally, not decided. Maybe that was the decision. It was not part of the Chinese decision, but we can get that from my brother too. But the site that's now between Broadway and Hill, north of College.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
that
see.
Was in June of 1938 when we had our grand opening.
Mm-hmm. I see. So your father didn't open another herb shop in New Chinatown?
Yes, it was the herb shop.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, we transferred the herb shop because that was the only business he knew. So it was totally an herb shop when we came to New Chinatown.
Yeah.
That's why where you get the old Chinatown and New Chinatown.
That's right.
Why they call it New Chinatown.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And those that didn't want to go to Chinatown, they formed their own and called it China City.
I see. Yeah. And so your father had herb shop again in New Chinatown.
That's correct.
Until he
passed away.
Oh, when did he pass away?
Okay. When I was 12 years old.
Oh, okay.
So that would be 1942.
Okay. So, and it's after that, the herb shop was no longer run by the family members.
If it was for a very short time. And I think my brother George understood that aspect of it, so he must have handled that for a while.
Uh-huh. And then he changed it to...
And then eventually we turned it into a curio shop.
I see.
We can give you some of those original pictures.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah,
all
we...
the shop. Mm-hmm. In fact, as I remember it, and I think my brothers can tell you, get into that a little bit more, but I think we were probably the poorest of all the Chinese family. So everyone had their choice of spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the last, but then it happened to be the best now because it was right in the center of Chinatown.
That's right. Yeah, so your father has been in the herb business, and most of, as you remember, his clients were Chinese.
They were all Chinese, and I briefly remember there were a couple of others thereafter, but they went into they dealt in the American community,
mm-hmm.
because there was more money to be made.
Uh-huh.
They can charge much higher prices.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but my father was dedicated to Chinese people, and he felt that he couldn't do that. He couldn't forsake the Chinese and go. Not that the other doctors have, but you know, they were more keenly a businessman, and my dad was more
serving the community,
community oriented, and helping the community. I remember that from my mother, that if people didn't have the money, he just credit, but he always if they needed medicine, he always gave it to them.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Yeah,
so your father also was not only as a herb doctor, he also was very involved in
yeah,
he's the
very
community.
Much involved in the community, and I'm sure my brother can go into that a little bit more, but he was president of Zhonghua Weigun, which is Chinese Benevolent Association,
uh-huh.
and very active, and always one of the leaders or participant in any of the activities in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm, I see. For example, like he was the president of the Zhonghua for so many years,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
he was, as I understand, he was highly respected by the Chinese community.
Yeah, and in fact, it's surprising they still remember him. Those that were in that era,
mm-hmm.
they still remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently he must have left a good impression.
Right. Do you have any, feeling about your father being so important when you were little, or to you?
No, I didn't. Even, we were not taught that. So if you're not taught, and you didn't read a lot, and you didn't know, so therefore, we always thought that my dad always took me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there was activity, I was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't feel that it was anything special or anything better than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a part of the lifestyle in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as I look back, I can see how important a role he played in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he helped a lot of people, such as starting the Chinese Catholic Center,
uh-huh.
when they needed some help and wanted to talk to the people in Chinatown. I don't believe anyone wanted to help or was a little reluctant. I think my father had extended a hand in encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I think he encouraged a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
I think my brothers can go into that a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
But
so
as far as my impression of him being involved, he was always there. Whenever
mm-hmm.
there was an activity, he was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because the store was the stopping place for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a natural place to ask, something, or an advice, or participate.
I see. As you remember, since you always went with him to different kind of functions, what type of activities he was involved in? For example, like going to...
Mostly banquets and, and, and association meeting, and let's say if there's a dignitary in town, you know, all in Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Probably later I can ask, or now, that how much was that influence on your life? For example, you already as a girl and participating like men's meetings, you know, gatherings.
Well, I think you participated more in a quiet way. You sat in the background. You didn't say anything, so it was just observation rather than actual participation, feeling that I am a part of, I'm more of an observer.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like I was to become a leader or be a leader.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever inquire that why he always take you or ask your mom never?
No, because I guess I always remember this from my mom, that, and it's of course in Cantonese, if I asked a question, her remark was always,
You're a girl, why
do you ask? You know, you're not supposed to ask. So, you know, I grew up not really fully participating in knowing the activities and what it all meant, totally, the total picture. I was just a part of a total, but not observing and understanding what it was.
Uh-huh. Was that common that men will bring a girl out to the banquet, to the meetings?
Only those that they can. I shouldn't say that it was always at them.
Mm-hmm.
Only where they had families, and of course, you know, I was there. But if it's for strictly men, maybe occasionally,
mm-hmm.
He'll have me, and I'll sit way in the background somewhere, you know, maybe
uh-huh.
with another. Maybe a child of another father.
Uh-huh. Was that, I should ask that, you know, was that uncommon that the girls were present? You know, like when there was other children, were they mostly boys? Because I feel that, you know, girls usually don't follow the father, and was that...
Well, because, you know, probably, you know, Chinatown was so small.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really go, you didn't travel anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You were always, you know, right, you know, in Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether there was a lot of, my dad, I guess it was a little different because my dad was in Chinatown. He was a nerve doctor and he was, you know, participating in the activity. So naturally, if he went like across the street or upstairs,
uh-huh.
it wasn't going anywhere.
Uh-huh. It's not really.
No, it wasn't like, you know, okay, I'm
special effort.
Yeah,
too.
It was like part of the Chinatown. But, and I forget whether or not, I'm sure there was other girls there, but I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to see how the Chinese girls were, treated, if they were just, you know.
Well, we're so little, you know, we're under 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, so you have a very colorful childhood, as I understood. And so would you like to talk a little bit about your childhood? You were born in
1930.
And did you go to school when you...
Well, in 1930, you know, of course, that was right during the Depression. And then at the age of 1933, I was in my first movie when I was three.
Uh-huh.
The movie was Good Earth,
uh-huh.
one of the old classics.
Uh-huh.
Of course, at that time, it wasn't acceptable for the movies, you know, but of course, we needed the money.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in quite a few movies in the early days, and I guess in the early days, movies was very glamorous and very exciting. To people to know that I was, but I never felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And at that time, of course, you say the family felt that, you know, the family needs the money.
Need the money.
Yeah. And so were you the only one?
My brothers, too.
Uh-huh. How many of your brothers actually get involved in the movie?
I think all three of them. Three, except George. Maybe George, too.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, we'll have to ask them.
So, do you remember the very first one, The Good Earth, or you were too young to
I
remember?
I remember that. I always grew with there's three girls playing the part, or babies three playing the part of this little baby, and to trade off, I guess they did that.
Uh-huh.
But I cried a lot because at that time we were only in Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
And we never stepped outside of Chinatown.
Uh-huh. And so your parents have to take you to the
studio?
No,
my parents didn't know how to leave Chinatown either. It was someone that was involved, and I think his name was Tom, Mr.
Is
Tom.
Is it Tom Gubbins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
He knew my dad.
Uh-huh.
So they would, someone in his group or someone he knew would have had to, but there's no way.
Uh-huh.
With our own family, we're so a part of Chinatown. We never, my mom, in the other day, she never left the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like her spot was in the kitchen, so
uh-huh.
we never, but later on, you know, like when I was 8 years old and when I was 10, 11, 12, I think my mom did go with me.
I see.
But
uh-huh.
not when I was three.
Uh-huh. So how many movies were you involved
I
in? I mean, probably many of them.
Quite a few, but I don't remember the, I remember one other, and that's that picture with Clark Gable,
uh-huh.
Too Hot to Handle.
I see.
They
uh-huh.
had apparently given quite a bit of publicity for me on that, and
mm-hmm.
and so everyone in China connected me with that movie.
Yes, right. Uh-huh. So how do you feel about being in the, you know, part of the movie industry? Well, different time period. Okay, when you were a teenager, how do you feel about it?
Okay, and that it was fun to go to some studio. Because we'd have to go to school. They had school at the studio.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and we went there to play.
Uh-huh.
Rather than to say,
work.
Oh, yeah, I see the movie stars and all. There was no meaning in that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who they were because we just didn't have a lot of outside background. We didn't go to movies, you know, we didn't have radios, didn't have magazines. So those stars didn't mean anything.
Uh-huh. So mainly it's fun to go
yeah,
there
fun.
And play.
It was fun. That was the, and we saw our other friends there, and it was going somewhere else and
mm-hmm.
playing.
Uh-huh. I see. So did you have to learn some special skill, like,
no.
or you just follow the director?
Just following the director.
Uh-huh. You must be very talented to be able to do that.
I think a lot of us in Chinatown
uh-huh.
you know, had an opportunity, all of us, you know. To China, from Chinatown, still some of them still go. I think like Walter Suhu.
Uh-huh.
I think they're one of the families that are still involved in the movies.
Uh-huh. And when did you stop involving in the movies?
Probably around 12. There were some good parts coming up, and my parents didn't feel that I should spend the time doing that. They didn't think that should be a part of a woman's life. A woman's life was to get married.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They already sort of worry about it
yeah,
at the
yeah.
age of 12.
In other words, when there was sufficient money so that, not that we were that rich,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't necessary then because between, you know, education was more important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, I don't mean college and university, but you know, like going to grammar school, junior high school, and high school,
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't take up too much time for them.
I see.
You know, because that was not a thing to do. Movies was not a career.
Uh-huh.
That we should be a part of.
I see. How about your brother? Did your parents also stop?
Yeah, the same.
From
but
going?
Oh yeah, but
uh-huh.
they didn't as much as myself.
Uh-huh.
I think I was in more movies than they.
Uh huh. I
yeah.
see. So you were there and you found it fine.
Fun.
To,
mm-hmm.
to be there. And
we were not. I was not affected by. The glamour in the movies because we didn't know we were to be affected.
Mm-hmm. And I guess
very
innocent, the only
very naive.
Yeah, and for your parents, the only reason is economic reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at that time,
I think many
Chinese actually found that's probably the best occupation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of making
money
making
mm-hmm.
living.
It
uh-huh.
was pretty good money. Everything that back in the 1930s. I remember this number, I checked with my brother, it seemed like I was getting like $25 a day.
Oh.
And that was quite a bit.
Well, especially a little
yeah.
girl. Yeah, so you said that about going to school. Why you don't, you know, you have to play, I mean, go to the, you know, work in the movies. Where did you go to school?
At the studio.
At the studio, but after that, I mean,
oh,
did you go to
oh.
Chinese school? Or?
Yeah, I went. Of course, most of us grew up in Chinatown, went to Castle Archery School.
Uh-huh.
And then all of us then went to Central Junior High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there we all went to Belmont High School.
Mm-hmm.
That was the step. And then when it got to college, we all sort of separated. You know, of course, I went to City College, some went to others.
Uh-huh.
But we all went together from Castle Archery to Central Junior High School and then to Belmont.
Uh-huh, I see. So So, did you go to any Chinese school?
Yeah, the Chinese Catholic Center.
Uh-huh.
I think same with the Louis family went there too.
I see.
I remember the Louis family and ourselves being the most active at the Chinese Catholic Center with Dr. Stanley Chan.
Uh-huh.
And also the other teacher, Mr. Chin. Mm-hmm. He's the president of Cathay Bank now.
Oh,
yeah, they were our two teachers.
I see. So did you learn only Chinese in that Catholic mm-hmm. Chinese mm-hmm. school? How many years were you there?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Probably through grammar school and a little bit of junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went there and then we went to public school and then to Chinese school.
How many hours? It's sort of going to two school at the same time.
It must have been into dinner time. What time did we get out of school? Around 3 o'clock? So maybe class started 3:30, 4, I don't quite remember. And then to 5 or 6. You know who you should interview? Dr. and Mrs. Stanley Chan.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, they can give you a background on all that, the Chinese that became Catholic because of the Chinese Catholic Center. Because without the Chinese Catholic Center,
mm-hmm.
I would have never been able to participate outside of Chinatown.
Uh-huh. I see.
I still remember the trips to the mountain, you know, like once a year, you know, with the nuns
mm-hmm.
To the mountains. And then we had little plays at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had summer school
mm-hmm.
at the, you know, center. I always remember the plays. It was always good. We always had dancing lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And without the Chinese Catholic Center, we would never had any of that.
Did the public school actually offer that kind of training, or it was just being a Chinese, you usually didn't have chance become part of it?
Yeah, the public school is more formal, whereas the Chinese school, you became a group, and I was more impressed of traveling outside with that group than grammar school. I don't know whether we went in place when we were in grammar school.
Uh-huh, I see.
No, we actually were able to go in a small group. Like, I remember going to either the bishop's home,
mm-hmm.
you know, which remember smelling that cake.
Mm-hmm.
Smells so good, you know, because we don't bake cake in the Chinese, yeah,
uh-huh.
you know. And it always smells so good.
So that was like a first experiences of
being outside of
Chinatown,
yeah.
learning something non-Chinese.
That's correct. I think
uh-huh.
that the experience of that,
uh-huh.
I think, was thanks to Dr. Lily Chan and also to Father Cowie,
uh-huh.
that we were able to have all that experience.
I see.
Then we formed a basketball team too, Chinese women, girls basketball team. We had a boys basketball team.
Mm-hmm. So these girls are a pretty young age then, isn't it?
I think that when we got to be in junior high and high school.
Uh-huh.
We grew up from going to school there, and then we continued, and then we had our dances, you know, when we got into teenagers.
Uh-huh.
And when we got in high school, I think it was high school that we had a basketball team.
Is that a part of a Maywa club, or is it different?
I think it's different.
Okay. So, but most of the members of that basketball team were from the Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Louis family, the two sisters were Edna Louis and Virginia Louis.
Uh-huh.
They were a part of that, myself.
Uh-huh.
And
you just play.
I think
teams?
They had other teams, and I forget where it was formed. Maybe at the International Institute.
Uh-huh. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's.
So that you sort of play against the
other
teams
yeah.
not necessarily Chinese. There's probably you are the only Chinese team.
You said
team.
To me, well, that did sound like maybe they were part of the team too,
uh-huh.
or part of the group.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah.
So that sounds very interesting, and not only learning Chinese, and you learn the other activities.
Mm-hmm.
And, how about the religion lessons?
We learned the Catholic religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
and I think quite a few of us became closely related to the Catholic Church.
Were your parents
no.
Catholic?
No.
How did
they
feel?
I didn't think they objected because of the Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
But I always remember the Chinese men used to tell me, well, where's your guy? Where's he? As we point out, they used to make fun of me
uh-huh.
and my religion. So, you know, as you can see, they're not, they didn't believe in it.
I see.
Neither did my mom.
Uh-huh. How about those, I mean, nuns, you know, like it's so alien to Chinese. Did you have that kind of feeling, but or you being
well,
a child?
Because it was part of Chinese school, you know, and when you go, every day to Chinese school, and then all of that was tied in with going to mass on
mm-hmm.
Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and then during summer we had all kind of activities,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday we had activities there with
yeah.
the nuns.
So you were pretty occupied, pretty much occupied at that time, daytime in public school, and then after school is Chinese school.
And then after that, working in the store.
So
then,
you have to work in the store, helping
oh, sure.
your father. What type
we,
of help?
Well, you know, sort of watching over the people cleaning the shelves, helping wrap, you know, but the gifts and putting out the merchandise and just whatever needed help. We used to sell flour in Chinatown too.
Oh.
Yeah, the Wu family. Did you ever interview them?
No.
Jenny Wu, Gilbert Wu. They used to, their mom used to be, used to bring in flowers. I guess they must have gotten them from the flower market. I
uh-huh.
didn't know how they got, but I only knew they always had flowers in a great big tray like this.
Uh-huh.
And boxes underneath that tray, right in the middle of Chinatown. And they sort of used to subcontract to people like myself
uh-huh.
and give us a smaller tray
uh-huh.
With flowers, and we used to go around Chinatown selling gardenias.
Uh-huh.
This would be 15 cents for one gardenia and
uh-huh.
then 35 cents for a double.
Uh-huh. And they sell it to Chinese
to the tourists.
Tourists, uh-huh.
And we used to do that, and then eventually on Saturday nights I had my own little stand.
Uh-huh.
Right in front of what used to be Tui Fa Lao.
Uh-huh. That's in the new Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
in front
mm-hmm.
of where the statue is
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your own stand there.
We used to sit there maybe from 6 to 12
uh-huh.
and sell flowers. And there used to be a lot of tourists in Chinatown. It's changed now.
Uh-huh.
But it used to be a place where the Shriners came and they apparently it was the only lighted and nice area to be, so the Shriners had all their activities there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if they brought their bands and set it right in Chinatown and played,
uh-huh.
and they had all their antics in Chinatown. And then the fraternities used to have their, what do you do when you join a fraternity? They have this razzing.
Uh-huh.
They used to do that in Chinatown.
I see. These are all non-Chinese, right?
No, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that, it was. The streets were all non-Chinese. Now it's all Chinese.
Right.
In
uh-huh.
the old days, the only Chinese were in the stores. And all the streets were totally Caucasians.
Uh-huh.
All your restaurants were uh-huh. all Caucasians.
Did you make pretty good out of that small business?
I only did it, but you asked me how much money, I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. So
I wasn't
you
supposed to know, you know, that
okay.
many, I'm sure I gave it to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used to, prior to that, we used to, and I forget who was involved, but we used to ask the tourists, you want me to sing you a song for a penny?
Oh.
And then, we'll stop them, you know how narrow the streets are.
Uh-huh.
So they'll give us a penny or a nickel or a couple of pennies, and we used to sing God Bless America.
Well, do you sing any Chinese song, or
no,
would they
ask?
Yeah,
it was usually God Bless America, and I forget another one, but God Bless America was the song we used
oh,
to sing.
Oh, really? How many of the girls like you, selling flowers or singing?
You know, I forget. I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Pat, Patty was her name, the Suhu fan, Junior Suhu.
Mm-hmm.
His father, Peter Suhu,
uh-huh.
the father was her.
Uh-huh.
Well, his little sister, Patty, and I used to sell flowers.
I
remember
see.
That. For singing, I forget, whoever was in Chinatown in the early days, I guess.
Uh-huh. Do you remember how you started selling flowers? Was your mother telling you, or it was you just around and asking if you want to?
Well, you know, Chinatown was just that one street, so everybody
right.
knew everyone.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I used to deliver my dad used to make these cha, whenever there was an illness,
special
herbs
tea.
Yeah, we used to put in these bottles, and I used to deliver it to all the restaurants, to the you seem surprised.
Right.
Yeah. They, my dad used to have these whiskey bottles, I guess, after he's cleaned them.
Uh-huh.
And if they needed some kind of medicine, especially if it's tea, he'll brew it
mm-hmm.
at the store and put it in the bottle. And I used to deliver it to the various restaurants, to the cooks or to the waiters, whoever needed medicine.
I see.
But
oh,
so it was
very
we used to know everyone. It was a very, very small community. So it was like a neighbor doing something. So if the neighbor's doing something, naturally the neighbor's children would participate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing with the selling the flowers, you know.
Uh-huh.
We play out in that street, and it was only that one street. So
uh-huh.
everything happened on that one street.
Actually, again, it was for fun more than anything else.
Yeah.
And the money-wise, probably the family didn't really have anything to against it.
Yeah, and the money wasn't
that much.
Yeah, but then it was, we didn't have a loan, so you know that gave us the chance to buy peanuts and candy and popcorn.
You earned your way from
yeah.
a very young age, yeah.
So everything was done in Chinatown. All our playing and just working, you know, all our friends, the community was just on that one street, Jingling
mm-hmm.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
We used to, we didn't.